Now let us turn to the Song of Solomon and chapter 1, and we shall read from verse 1. Song of Solomon, the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Particularly the words, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. I couldn't say other than to say that this song is a joyous song. This is a song which uplifts the person who is spiritually minded. It is a song of songs, as it is described here. There is no other song, surely, like this song. We also have in the Bible a song of loves, and that is Psalm 45, which we have sung part of. But these two, of course, are in some ways associated. They are both songs about Christ, songs about the relationship between the believer and Christ. Now, the song was composed by Solomon after his spiritual recovery. And what a recovery that must have been, from where he was at one point in his life. It is amazing that he rose from that to such a level of spirituality that he, through under the inspiration of the Spirit, gave us this song. Now, the song is, of course, a song of love. It is a song particularly of the longings of love, the longings which the believer has for Christ, and also the love which Christ has for the believer. It is a song about mutual love, a two-way love. And it is indeed a song of happiness and a song of joy, a song which uplifts the believer, and a song which sometimes lifts the believer to heights which perhaps they never reach in any other way. Certainly for myself, personally, I found this song over the years to be not just a happy hunting ground for me for sermons, but for my own benefit. Now just a word or two, first of all, about what this song is all about, and what we have to look for, and what we have to expect when we come to this song. It is a song of songs, but I would also say that it is a song of longings. And I would say that that is the main theme that is through this book. It is a book about the longings of the Christian to be with Christ. And also, and to some extent, there is the longing of Christ for the believer to come and to enjoy him and to enjoy his company and his fellowship. Just taking that a step further, to give you perhaps what is just purely a personal view, I believe there are two important phrases in this song. they occur in this chapter itself and later on in the book. We find the phrase, I am sick of love. Of love is really not the best translation. It may be a literal translation, but it's not the best. It is, I am sick with love. So if those of you who have Gaelic will know that the Gaelic translation is better than this. And it says, Ha mi chain legraach. I am sick with love. And I would describe this book as the sickness of the Christian. That's what we have through this book. We have this longing to be with the one whom her soul loves. The believer here is, of course, is a woman. And she is longing for her Lord. She is longing for Christ. She is longing to the extent that she says she is sick with love. Isn't that wonderful? This song is about the sickness of the Christian. There is a sickness which is good. A sickness of simply longing for Christ. A sickness which is not going to find its real fulfillment until the believer passes into the presence of Christ. So there is that period of hunger, of thirsting, of longing. But the thing about this longing and this hunger or thirst is that it is different from any other longing in this, that it doesn't need to wait till its final fulfillment. For its final union with Christ, for there to be blessing. There is blessing in this longing in itself. To have it is a blessing. To have that longing, yearning, thirsting for Christ, just to have it, it's a blessing. Everyone who has it should recognize the blessing that they have if they are longing for Christ. Now, I want to now look at what this text really means. It means, speaks about, let him, that is Christ, kiss me with the kisses of his love. What is the believer asking for? Obviously, she is not asking for physical kisses. Certainly not in this life. So, what are the kisses of Christ? Notice it is specifically says the kisses of his mouth. Now what does that point to? It points to his word. It points to to this word that is before us here. This is the word of Christ. We do not and must not look for special blessings and special words, special revelations from Christ outside his word. That is very wrong, because it is suggesting that this revelation here is not sufficient. It is all sufficient for our needs. But sometimes when we read this word, and I'm sure you all experience this, sometimes we find that a little particle maybe of that word, of what you have read, is made a blessing to you. And it is the fulfillment of this. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Brothers, sisters, do we have that longing when we come to read the Bible, and even when we are under the preaching of the word? Do we look for something from that word to be blessed especially to us? A kiss from the mouth of Christ. The words of his mouth being blessed to us. She longs for these kisses. Though we see much of these longings in this book. In chapter 2, verse 8, voice of my beloved. 2:14, she says, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice. In 5:2, it is the voice of my beloved that knocketh. Now there are one or two things about this longing and these kisses from Christ. And I think that we all have experienced this. And we rebuke ourselves for it. That we have a moment where the word is made particularly meaningful to us, where the Holy Spirit has particularly blessed it to us. But there are always fleeting moments, always they pass so quickly. There was a student in the Free Church College many years ago, and the professor asked the class, have any of you got anything against Christ? And one student puts his hand up. The professor is astonished, and he says to him, what is it, he says. And the student says, I have this against him, that when he comes, he waits for such a short time, just a fleeting glimpse. That is all. But the thing about these fleeting glimpses is this, that They whet the appetite. They make you go hunting and striving for more. Every touch, every moment of nearness leaves us with an emptiness, realizing that He has been near and He has gone. So you have in the end of chapter 5, where the believer, she has been lazy. He was knocking at the door. And she is slow. She is lazy to get up. Then eventually she goes to the door. She opens to her beloved and he is gone. She didn't appreciate the moment. She didn't lay hold upon it. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Now, when we are looking for a word from the mouth of Christ, let us not look for any audible voice. I know that you hear, as I do, some who say, more or less, well, God told me this. God said this to me. I have a worry about that. That it is bypassing this precious book. This is the word of Christ. And at least I can say with assurance that it is best if these kisses come through this word than any other way. Because you know that it's genuine. When the word of God is blessed to you, and you know that it's a word from Christ, a kiss from his mouth, that is what we should look for. Not any sort of miraculous revelation, but just simply blessing upon the word which he has given us. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Brother, sister, would you be hesitant to pray, O Lord, a kiss from thy mouth through thy word? The Bible is the word of Christ. It is the kisses of his mouth. That's the specific emphasis here. The kisses of his mouth, pointing surely to his words. She is longing for a word from Christ. Let's move on. Ask the question, what effect does this have, or should it have, on our spiritual life? And the first question is, does this have an effect on the way that we read the Bible? And my answer to that is, most certainly it does, and it should do. Because while it is good to read the Bible widely, to read it perhaps chapters or even whole books at a time, there's a benefit in that, in getting the whole sweep of things. But it must not displace. This is the great danger. That if we have a discipline of reading large passages of the Bible each day, that we are in danger of missing another way of reading, which goes well with the first. And that is intense reading of very small portions. Intense reading of very small portions. Because it is in these things that, in that kind of reading, I believe that we are going to experience the kisses of Christ. By intense, repeated reading, and if anything is blessed to you, that you read it and read it and read it. I was taught a bit of a lesson about this some years ago. I was speaking to an experienced Christian, far greater experience than me, and a very spiritual man, and enjoyed his fellowship. And we got talking about this very thing, how to read the Bible. And I asked him, well, how do you read it? Well, he says, I might sometimes read a chapter. But even if I do, he says, I'll always come back to something in that chapter. Something that perhaps I liked or enjoyed when I was reading it. And I go back to there and I spend time there. And I said, how long? And he said this to me, and it really taught me a lesson. He said, well, the verse I'm working on just now, he says, I've been working on it for 2 weeks. I said, on the one verse? Yes, on the one verse. Just knew that there was something there for him. And I believe that, whether he had that awareness or not, that he was enjoying the blessing of kisses from the mouth of Christ. Now, during this present time, there is always a longing. And indeed it is called a fasting by the Lord himself. When people accused him and said, well, the disciples of John fasted, but your disciples do not fast. And he says to them, would the guests, the bridegroom's guests, would they fast while the bridegroom is still with them? Of course they wouldn't. But then he adds this, but the day will come, he says, when they will fast. The bridegroom will be taken from them and they will fast. These disciples who had that privilege of being with him during his earthly life, they weren't fasting. They had it all. They had him. Then the time came when he was taken from them. And like all believers who followed them, they fasted. We are going through that period of fasting. Fasting because we don't have the actual physical presence of the Lord. We have not yet seen him with our eyes. We look forward to that moment when we will see him with our eyes. And everything, all our longings will be fulfilled. But until then, we have to understand that we are fasting. That we are on a sort of a spiritual fast. And just a word in conclusion about this psalm in general. That this psalm, it was described by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones once as the test of spiritual life. Test yourself using this song. Now don't be afraid of spiritualizing things. There's a terrible inhibition on the church, on ministers in the church, to spiritualize this book. Whereas our forefathers, especially our free church forefathers, they didn't have these inhibitions at all. They freely spiritualized this book. And they were blessed through it. Now, is it a test of spiritual life? Well, I believe that Lloyd-Jones was right. And that this book, it's a test in this way. That only a true believer can enjoy this book. You cannot see how an unbeliever would ever enjoy this book. He would never enjoy the things that we have been speaking about tonight. But once a person comes to know and to love Christ as his Lord and Savior, then this book will be a joy and a delight. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, the sickness of the Christian, the sickness of love, the sickness of longing for Christ. That is the sickness which we want to have and which we long to have. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we pray for thy blessing upon thy word. O Lord, we ask thee that thou wilt help us to enjoy, to love and to appreciate all parts of thy word, including this song. Thou bless us and keep us in our fellowship. And all we ask is for Jesus' sake and in his name. Amen.